Total Tuscany Podcast, number 28. Ciao, and welcome to another edition, the first of the year 2015, of the Total Tuscany Podcast. I'm Travis Justice, joined once again by another Tuscan enthusiast, my friend, he's your friend, Mr. Pat Capagna. Hi, Pat.
Travis, how are you? Welcome to 2015.
Happy New Year, my friend.
Great year. Great.
Do you have any New Year's resolutions that you want to take on as we head into the new year?
I think, a couple trips to Tuscany would be a good resolution or two.
A couple trips would be nice. One would be perfect. And before we even started recording this podcast, you and I were going through Expedia trying to find the perfect dates for us to go and trying to coordinate my schedule with your schedule. And it's not easy, but I think you and I are determined to know that we will get this done. We will be in Tuscany within the next couple of months.
Absolutely. And I'm excited about the podcast for this morning.
Yeah, so am I. And of course, if you're new to the Total Tuscany podcast, welcome. It's great to have you here. If you're back listening again, thank you so much for making us part of your regular listening routine. Of course, you can follow Total Tuscany on various social media channels, including Facebook at Total Tuscany, on Twitter at Total Tuscany, and make sure to follow the Total Tuscany podcast on iTunes. One of the great things about going to Tuscany, besides the food and the wine and the architecture, is the ability to take pictures. I don't know how many pictures I have taken every time we've gone to Tuscany. I don't know how many pictures you have taken, but every time we've come back with a unique perspective on the places we visited.
Hundreds of pictures. And what's so neat, what's cool about Tuscany is you don't have to be a skilled photographer to take some great pictures.
But there are people who want to develop those skills. And there are people who will go buy a camera and go, oh, what do I do with this? And I consider myself an intermediate photographer. I know a lot of things about the camera. I do a lot of landscape photography. But there are a lot of people who don't know the hidden gems of exactly what their camera can do. And that's where a tour of a workshop that focuses all on photography, from using your camera to processing your photos in Photoshop, come into would be a nice tour or workshop to take. And lo and behold, out of nowhere, Rob Moles from Italy in Focus contacted us through our website, and just like that, we had another podcast interview.
And it's a fascinating idea that he's come up with, and the idea of actually traveling to Tuscany, and then Rob taking a group on a private tour, setting up location, setting up the photography, the light. Those things, we wouldn't be able to do on our own.
But Rob's story just isn't about setting up a photography workshop in Tuscany. It really is a riches to rags to riches story. Here's Rob Moles from Italy in Focus. Rob, when people first hear your voice, they're going to notice that you are not a native of Italy. In fact, you come from England in the UK, where you are a professional photographer. You were commissioned to take photos of the Duke and Duchess of Devonshire. You took photos of Joan Collins. My question is, how did you go from that lifestyle to living the lifestyle you are now in Italy?
Wow, that's a hell of a question.
we throw big ones right away.
All right up front.
Yeah, don't ease me in, will you? Just hit me straight, hard on, first of all. Okay, I've been in photography for 20 years in England, and I was a professional with a studio as a black and white specialist photographer, I suppose you could call it. My studio shot entirely black and white photography. And then pretty much after 20 years, I thought, I was sort of hit 50, and I thought, well, I've probably had enough of this. I fancy doing something different. So Susanna, my wife, and I, we went on a world trip, and we did Australia, Singapore, America, and we ended up in New Zealand. And we had a camper van, and we just toured New Zealand for a couple of weeks, and it was the one place that I said to Susanna, I said, this is the one place I could actually live. And Susanna, being the kind of person that she is, she said, well, how about it then? And I said, well, okay, let's do it. And from that moment on, we sort of decided that we would actually move to New Zealand. So after we came back, And then about 2 weeks later, we went came back to England after the holiday. And then 2 weeks later, we went back to New Zealand and started looking for businesses and opportunities, and just a way to sort of enter into it. So we then, once we actually made that decision, it took about 14, 15 months for us to get the visas. I had to sell my business. I had to sell the houses that we had in England. Just had to wrap everything up. And then we took our two girls over to New Zealand as well. And they were 25, 26, something like that. And they were going to work in the business with us. We'd found a business that we wanted to run. And it was basically, I wanted to run, because I'm a musician. Well, I'm a drummer. I'm not a musician. I hit things. let's not get carried away here about being a musician. But we then decided that I would like to open up a small music club. So we looked for a property. And once we'd actually found this particular place, we just kept meeting people. And the business started to grow. And then we met people that were putting on plays. And we met comedians and all sorts of people. And the business grew. And eventually we ended up owning this, or building this theatre called the Playhouse. It's still there, still in operation. And we opened this thing, and you know, it went very, very well for 2 years. And then the recession hit New Zealand, and we couldn't ride the recession out. So the business closed, and Sue and I, we basically lost everything. So we put about probably $500,000 into the business.
And you were what, 51, 52 years old at this time?
Yeah, I'd be 52 at this time. And once that, once the business folded, Sue and I had to sort of leave New Zealand. We lost pretty much everything that we owned, and we ended up with two suitcases, and we couldn't think of a way out of it. And the lawyers, my solicitor, the accountants, all the people that we were dealing with said the only way that you can get out of this is to just disappear from New Zealand. Just leave the business and disappear.
So they literally just said, act like you've never been here and it'd all go away?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was the sort of advice that you think, that can't be right. We can't just leave everything. But it was, everybody was saying the same thing, that the only way for us to survive mentally and financially was just to hand the business over to the bank and then disappear and then just move. So that's exactly what we did. We went on this, there's a particular scheme called Helpexing.
Now, when you say scheme, is that a positive thing or a negative thing?
It's a very, very positive
thing. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the idea, when you Helpex for somebody, you go and work for them for board and lodging. They don't actually physically pay you anything, but they feed you and look out and give you a bed. And then you work for them during the day. And that's what Sue and I did for a year. We went over to Australia, and we worked on a fish farm, and we worked on various other businesses. And we just worked for our food and lodging. And no money was changing hands. We didn't have any money. The only money we had was enough to get from one Helpex host to another. The Helpexing is really designed for 25-year-olds, you know, sort of kids that have just finished college, finished university, and they want a year out, so they go and work for other people. But because, I mean, I've got quite a few skills other than being a photographer. I do a lot of building work. And I was able to sort of work our way around Australia, and it was a fantastic experience because we'd always, Sue and I, we'd always had a lot of money. You know, the business was doing well, and we'd had the trappings of life. Okay, and then to all of a sudden have nothing at all, absolutely nothing. We didn't even own a set of keys. It's a very humbling experience, and one that, you know, we found quite not traumatic. It was Well, it was an interesting experience because we'd never been in that situation before where we relied on so many people.
Well, the story that you have so far, Rob, it's that's amazing by itself. And then to downsize your lifestyle and go to Australia for a year. How did you get from Australia to the U.S.?
Well, because we have the British passport, we're only allowed to stay 3 months in Australia. And 3 months in the States. So we're now 3 months with up in Australia. We our daughters paid for us to go to America, and we ended up on this cattle ranch in Nebraska, in Shadron, and we stayed with the guys there for 3 months, and just again help ex in them, and it was a fantastic experience. You know, we were out sort of chopping wood and building corrals and rounding up cattle and branding and castrating cattle and things. So it's a sort of experience that you don't normally get as a British person, as an Englishman. But when you go out and do the cowboy thing in America, it was a wonderful experience. And then when that 3 months was up, our visas were up in America, we then had to move to Europe. That was the next stage. So we came to Italy, and that would be around about 2011, I think. So I would be, 57, 56, something like that.
Now, did you have, when you moved to Italy, did you have a dime to your name?
No, we didn't.
So you're in Italy, you don't have a dime to your name. You're basically starting all over. Your wife obviously have shown tremendous patience, because I know plenty of women that would have left their husbands by the time this had rolled around. Absolutely. When did the idea, the spark, come to you for Italy in focus?
Well, I once we arrived in Italy, we continued to help ex for another year, and during that time, I was also getting paid to do additional work. So we were building up our own funds at that time. And then we met this couple, and they lived in Città di Castello, and they became very, very good friends. And she ran a company called Painting Holidays in Italy. And we got talking, and I told her, you know, we discussed that I was a photographer, and she says, well, you know, I quite fancy putting on a photography holiday. Would you do a course for me? So I put together this workshop, and the following year, I did a number of courses. I did some in Venice, Umbria, and some in Tuscany for my friend Sheila. And then we decided that I could, you know, this would be a fantastic thing to do as a business. So I then set up Italy in Focus, and we now concentrate on running workshops in Tuscany, because it's such a beautiful area, and it's very, very close. I live in Tuscany, but I'm on the Tuscan Umbrian border. So I decided that the Val d'Orcia would be the perfect place to run these courses.
And so, Rob, how many courses, how many groups do you bring in annually?
We bring in, we can run about 12 weeks a year. Okay. I tend not to do them in August. I do May, June, July, and September. I tend not to do August because it's absolutely blistering here. It's about 40 degrees, which is what, 90 odd for you? 95 Fahrenheit, something like that. Mm-hmm. It's just too hot during the day. But May, June, July, and September are just fabulous months to run photography courses. So that's the sort of time. We have about 12 weeks that we run the courses.
When you opened your business in Italy, did your business life in New Zealand ever come back to haunt you? I'm just trying to think, you know, here in the United States, I had a coffee shop. But when I went to Italy the first time, I was motivated by all the coffee, so I thought it'd be a good idea to open a coffee shop. Well, I lost that 6 years after opening that. And I can't imagine now even trying to get the funds to start a business up? Was it easy to get a business up and running after being off and running your own business for so long and really not having a dime to your name?
Well, the beauty about running photography courses is that there's no huge startup costs. Because I have all the equipment anyway. I mean, when we left New Zealand, I took all my camera gear with me. I didn't take any of the studio equipment, but I don't generally need that at the moment for the courses I run. They're basically landscape, cityscape, night photography, macro work. So I have all that equipment with me anyway. And then when we run the courses, we have a villa that we go to that can, as it's a sort of, what is it, nine-bedroom villa with a pool. It's such a beautiful place, and I can do portraiture through window light, and then so I don't need a fantastic amount of gear to set up. So our startup costs were relatively low. It's basically the website, stationery and things like that. So it wasn't, I didn't need tremendous amount of funding to set the business up. Like when you set a coffee shop, there's a massive amount of equipment that you need. The New Zealand business has not come back to haunt me. We're out of bankruptcy now. That's all over and done with. It's not transferable over to Italy.
Rob, I'm wondering if you could, this is so intriguing. Would you walk us through, let's say that Travis and I and our wives, we land in Italy. Walk us through what a typical first couple of days would be like in your program.
Yeah, well, basically, you would land at Florence Airport, and then I would pick you up. We have a minivan. I pick you up in that. I usually book about 8 photographers, and we can take another 8 partners. So it's not a massive group. We run almost 2 programs. So there's the photographer's program, and then there's the partner program, which Susanna, my wife, is pretty much handles that. So on the first day, we'll do the basics of photography. Now, the courses themselves, the workshops themselves, they're really designed for beginners to intermediates. We've had people on the course that have literally bought the camera 2 weeks before they come on the holiday. They've got no idea what all the buttons do, don't even know what Photoshop is. So they form a small group, which I give attention to. And then we have the middle group that understand the cameras, they know what all the buttons do, but they find getting the right exposure, and they need some help with composition and seeing the light and seeing how pictures are put together. And then we have the more intermediate group that understand all that stuff, and they just want to be put in front of beautiful locations with a bit of advice on camera angles, and then probably more advice on Photoshop tuition as well. So I would say that my courses have 3 different types of people: the absolute beginner, the beginner with a bit of knowledge, and then the intermediate photographer. I've designed the course that where we all go out together, and everybody has their own project to do, and everybody has a certain amount of attention that I give them depending on their skill level. Each day that we run, that we have on the courses, there is the specific location and a specific type of photography that we do. Most times we are out pretty early in the morning. Okay, so if we're going to the Val d'Orcia, you've got to be up around about 6 o'clock, and to catch the right sort of light. You can imagine it's such a stunning area that you have to be there at the right time. And it's usually the great locations are only probably about sort of 15-20 minutes from where the villa is. There's not a fantastic amount of traveling to do. So we go out, we set up, everybody, you know, you have your tripods, you have your filters. I run through how I think the shot should look, and then we wait for the light to hit, and then everybody's firing off like crazy. And then we pack that up, and then we go to another location. So during the day, during the week, we'll be visiting many towns like Pienza, Siena, Montepulciano. We will actually take a day trip over to the west coast as well to get some seascape photography. And also we're into the night as well. We do quite a lot of night photography, which in these medieval towns, because the light, you know, most of the medieval cities are all lit up. They make fantastic night photography pictures, but a lot of folks do need help with, you know, calculating exposure, what to focus on, and composition of that type of photography. But it looks wonderful when you get these pictures.
Well, you brought up a very important aspect of this tour, and you mentioned people's equipment and how they may have just gotten their camera a couple of weeks before coming over. People need to be informed that this isn't a typical point-and-shoot camera class. You are looking for specific equipment, correct, when people take your course?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, we love equipment. So the more equipment you can bring, the better. So if you can get your wife to bring half your gear as well, that's fantastic. You know, just keep piling this in. But you don't actually need a fantastic amount of equipment to take great pictures. You do need a DSLR camera, and basically a kit lens, an 18-55, and that is all. If you come on my course and you've got that one camera and one lens, I can guarantee you'll get cracking pictures. Because it's not about the gear, it's about being able to see the photograph, knowing the exposure to get what you want. And the equipment is important, but it's not absolutely necessary to have superb glass. You'll get better, sharper pictures if you have beautiful glass or lenses, but it's not essential. On the other hand, we have photographers that come out and they bring $10,000 worth of equipment, and they have the lenses from fisheye right through to 400mm telephoto, and they'll get a massive variety of pictures. So my advice really is that if anybody's thinking of coming on a course, don't think you need to spend a phenomenal amount of money on equipment just to come on the course. You don't need to do that. You will need a DSLR camera or a bridge camera, a point and shoot. That's not where we're at. Okay, it is about taking control of your camera. You need to be able to use it on manual, and you know, my advice is for people to shoot it in RAW as well. But I will teach you how to do that. A lot of folks coming, they use the cameras and they shoot JPEGs. Which is fine if it's just putting pictures on the web, but as soon as you want to start making photo books or making bigger pictures, making prints, then you will need to shoot RAW. But that's sort of a technical thing a bit further down the line, really.
Rob, talk about the light. You mentioned the morning and the black and white photos that you have up on your website are absolutely amazing. But talk about the light that you're catching in Tuscany. What is it about that golden kind of hue that we see whenever we visit?
Yeah, there is something special about the light, and I think what it is, it's clean. It's a very, very sharp light, and I think that gives a real edge to the photographs. There's no, because where we are in the Val d'Orcia, there's the biggest town is Siena, which is actually quite a long way away. So and it just there's no sort of pollution in the atmosphere. It's very, very clean light. You do have to get up early to get this kind of light, but it can change color dramatically throughout the seasons and throughout the day. So it's important that we're in the right location at the right time. And we tend not to shoot very much between 11 o'clock in the morning and 3 in the afternoon. That's sort of a dead area. That's where we go into the towns and we shoot the churches. We go inside and do a lot of interior photography, maybe some portraiture as well during that time. But when we're shooting landscapes, it's really between 6 in the morning and 10, and then in the afternoon between 4 and 7 or 8 when the light starts to fade. You do need that low sun. That gives the pictures some dramatic shadows, and that's the quality of light is based around the time of day that you shoot.
Right now, according to your website, one of your tours costs 850 euros per person. In American dollars, that's just over $1,000. What all comes with that? Is it just the course? Is lodging included? Any meals included? What's all included with your course?
Okay, the 850 includes the accommodation. Okay, so you arrive at the airport, and then we collect you, and you have the accommodation is all paid for. The reason I've not included food in that is that we generally, every day, we're out on location at a different location. So we'll go to a pizzeria for a meal, which can cost maybe, you know, 10 bucks or something. And then another day we might be in Siena, so we'll have a nice meal in a nice restaurant, which can cost 30 bucks. It's not expensive to eat in Tuscany. If you're prepared to search out the right sort of restaurants and trattorias, and I've got a whole list of these places where we go to. I tend to try and find family-run restaurants so that we're getting a really good taste of Tuscany. I know you guys are seriously into the food of Tuscany. I've heard this on your previous podcast. And it is. I mean, it's just a wonderful place to have a whole variety of Italian cooking. And there'll be some nights where we have barbecues in the villa. Susanna's a fabulous cook, and she can cook in a Tuscan style. So, you know, you will be short of good food and very, very good wine. Because I think wine's quite important to you guys as well.
Yeah, I would say that.
That's absolutely true.
Rob, I before we did this interview, I just wanted to get a quick glimpse on photography in Tuscany. And I Googled pictures of Tuscany. 24 yeah. million hits came up on Google. Of pictures of Tuscany. Do you wake up every single day feeling that you're in one of your photographs?
Yeah, it's a stunning area, and I think you've got to be very, very careful when you live here not to get complacent. Oh, okay, there's another medieval town. Yeah, that's really nice. You do have to take a step back. I find myself having to take a step back. And funnily enough, I've just started this project, a personal photography project, because I think when you're a pro, it's quite difficult to take pictures for yourself. So I've just started this project called Project 365, and you take one picture every day, okay? And that's quite hard over a year. In fact, it's very, very difficult.
Are you taking a picture of the same spot, or are you just going somewhere different every day?
You can take a picture of anything, but it's one photograph every single day for the next year, okay? And because I live in this beautiful area, you'd think it would be easy. But once you've actually captured that one shot, then you start to bring, you've got the one shot of the medieval town, looks fantastic. But then you have to start bringing it down into detail and closer and closer and closer until you start it, you're right down to the macro level. So yeah, while you're in Tuscany, you know it's a beautiful area, because I've been here sort of 3 or 4 years now, it's very hard not to get complacent. So you have to sort of kick yourself up the backside sometimes to start looking at the area that you live in and appreciating it again, second and third time.
What are some of the more offbeat, interesting places that you've taken some of your groups?
Well, I think certainly it's in, if you go into San Quirico and Pienza, there's the tourist route that you go down. You go down the main street and shoot the pictures down there. But if you actually go up into the side streets, you'll start to see, particularly in Pienza, there's some beautiful craft workshops there where you'll get a leather worker. And he's an old Italian guy. He looks about 95 years old, and his hands are all gnarled and, you know, there's warts all over them. But he's working leather. And if you ask him nicely, if you buy something, he'll let you take pictures. And that's the sort of thing that, to me, is the real Tuscany. I'm not a big fan of the classic tourist shots. You have to get them when you go. It's important to get the tourist shot, you know, the classic, like the Colosseum, for instance, in Rome. But to get underneath all that and to get into the people that have lived there for decades, that run these small workshops, wooden carving workshops, they're the things that I particularly like to shoot, actually. In addition to inside the cathedrals, and again, you can shoot the altar and get the classic shot, but there's so many details. When you walk into Pienza Cathedral, for instance, there's really tiny mosaics in there that make superb pictures, and they're the sort of picture that you could put four or five of them together and just hang them on the wall as a set. And it's they're sort of like pieces of art, and I'm a big fan of getting in close and cropping out all the other extraneous detail and just coming in and creating pieces of art. And that's what we can get in Tuscany, within the cathedrals and around the towns.
You use the word art, and people need to understand, and I hope they really understand that, you know, you can see all sorts of great artwork in Tuscany, in Italy, from Renaissance art to the frescoes, all sorts of things. But photographs really are art, and when you perfect the craft, you can create stunning and unbelievable images, and ones that are truly special to you or to whoever's taking them. I mean, photography really is art, and there's no better landscape or canvas to work on, we believe, than Tuscany, Rob.
Yeah, I would agree with it. I mean, that the thing is, the whole of Italy is just a beautiful photographer's location. For me, Tuscany has got the edge, because it's got the landscapes, it's got the medieval towns. We do find the people themselves are particularly friendly. If you go sort of down to Rome, you go into the bigger cities, Milan, Naples, it's not particularly friendly town. You get this big city mentality. But when you come out to Tuscany and you do San Quirico, Pienza, Montepulciano, these people, they don't mind you taking pictures of them. They're very happy for you to do that. And it's all about how you approach them as well. You know, if you're sort of nice and friendly, give your Italian a bit of go, they're very, very happy for you to walk into their workshop and for you to take pictures of them.
Well, it's funny you say that, Rob, because, and Pat is probably sick of me doing this, when we go, and I like to consider myself an intermediate photographer, even with the gear that I have, but I find, and where I am now in the States, I love to shoot landscapes and architecture. But when I go to Italy, I find myself shooting the elderly. That's all I do, is find elderly on the street, and I love to shoot them because I feel that they have a different glow to them. There's an aura. There's a sense of vibrance, even in their older state, than you don't see anywhere else. I find it to be highly motivating for me.
We came back, Rob, and we were thumbing through all those pictures, and The one constant that kept coming through, I'm not anywhere near an intermediate photographer, but the pictures of the elderly people, they were everywhere. They were out enjoying life.
Yeah, they do. They have in Italy what they call a passeggiata, which is round about sort of between 6 and 7 o'clock at night. They go out for a walk and they get dressed up. They have a passeggiata in Monterchi here, And these old guys, they're probably about, I don't know, 70, 75 years old, really sharply dressed, you know, beautiful clothes. And they just stroll around the town showing themselves off. They're very, very proud of their heritage, very proud of the towns that they live in. The glow, I believe, you were talking about, is red wine. That's where it all comes from. You've got to keep yourself topped up with red wine.
There's nothing better than red wine, that's for sure. So from riches to rags to bankruptcy, now to Italy. Is your life richer and more fulfilled today than it ever has been?
Yeah, I mean, Sue and I, we have a much simpler life than we used to do. Back in England, running the photography course, it's stress-free. We love the people around here, and I'm doing, my passion is photography, that's what I do. It's a great life, but we don't have anywhere near the amount of cash that we used to have.
But okay, isn't it?
That's okay. I think in Italy, if you've got a glass of red wine and you're sitting in the sun and you've got a camera in your hand, I'm done.
Rob, you've been a fascinating guest, a wonderful story. The website is italyinfocus.co.uk. The best way is just Google Italy in Focus, and Rob's website's going to come right up. You have tours starting in May, running through June, July, and August. I hope someday that we can meet and take photos together.
Rob, thank you. Great conversation.
Great. Thanks, guys. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I look forward to seeing you in Italy.
Rob Moles from Italy in Focus. You know, Pat, I've enjoyed every conversation we've ever done on a Total Tuscany podcast. But Rob, there was something about his story, about his energy, about his journey that really, I think, we both find motivating.
Mm-hmm. That story resonates, doesn't it? And it's almost a story that I think you could see somebody writing a book about at some point.
Yeah, there's definitely a story there in the journey that he's been through and the life that he's lived. And it's really, it's not really about the photographs. It's about that you can really do whatever you want to do when you put your mind to it, no matter what your age is. Mm-hmm. And Rob and his wife sound like fascinating people. And we encourage you, if you're passionate about photography, if you're thinking about getting involved in photography, that you look at Italy in Focus. Again, it's italyinfocus.co.uk. You can also find Italy in Focus on Facebook. Don't forget, you can like Total Tuscany on Facebook. Just search Total Tuscany. You can follow us on Twitter at Total Tuscany. And make sure to follow the Total Tuscany podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. 2015 is off to a great start. I hope it is for you, and I hope your Tuscan dreams come true. For Pat Campagna, I'm Travis Justice. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Total Tuscany Podcast.